I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Tom Thayer.
Oh, no!
Chicago Bears radio analyst.
That's him. Don't you think you'd practice at home flipping it a couple times, make sure you get it right? It's like a referee in basketball making sure you throw that jump ball up straight.
Tom Thayer, 1985 Super Bowl champion.
We are the Bears, shuffling crew, shuffling on down, doing it for you.
Tom Thayer.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tom Thayer is something of a local legend, a star from grammar school through Notre Dame through the 85 Bears, and now a man that tells us what's happening for a living. And Tom joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of $7,000 off on Jeeps. And it is a privilege, Tom, to share your airwaves. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. How are you guys?
Doing well. Pumped up, very excited. A lot going on, and really kind of loving life in the NFL, where the Bears aren't necessarily they don't need to be the big spenders. You can sit back and watch some of these deals and kind of have your jaw slack and wonder what the heck happened to this league. It's crazy stuff.
It is. There's a lot, so many things you have to take in consideration. Let's start at the top when you look at Antonio Brown and you look at Le'Veon Bell. Because, one thing about Antonio Brown is, when he was in Pittsburgh, he ran that system. That was second nature to him. He didn't have to think about it. He broke the huddle, understood what he was doing, had a great relationship with Ben. But now he's going to have to try to develop a relationship with a quarterback that's not as confident or as mentally strong as Ben Roethlisberger. And now if you have a quarterback that's, continuing to learn in Gruden's system, and then you have a receiver that's coming back to the huddle every time, that's kind of give him stink eye or just not being, happy with what the performance or what's going on. And you might relive some of the horror that you lived with this past year with Antonio Brown. And then you look at Le'Veon Bell, you're going to bring him to a team with a bad offensive line, and then you're going to add Josh Sinton, then you're going to try to develop a quarterback within a system that's pretty difficult to learn in terms of Adam Gase, and he's going to have to learn that system as well as he knew the Pittsburgh system. So, there's a lot of question marks on the outside, but as deflating as the Bears season was at the end, I think it's as positive as we've been at this part of the offseason in quite a long time.
So, Tom, the Bears captured some imagination and created some speculation when they cleared some cap space, $11 million, by going to Khalil Mack. And then they made some strategic moves. I thought they were very smart moves in getting Buster Screen, the nickel back, Mike Davis, the running back, and Cordarrelle Patterson, a wide receiver kick returner. What did you think of each move and where the Bears are in terms of the roster now?
It's funny because when the Bears were playing the Jets, I remember some of the people inside, some scouts talking about Buster Skrine and what he could do and, what an important piece to the puzzle he was on the Jets and what he could do if he was a part of the Bears. It's all that forward thinking of the Bears and the scouting departments that I kind of enjoyed from this year. They know what they're getting out of Patterson. He's, turned into a Swiss Army knife. He can be a wide receiver. He can be an explosive kick returner. He can run the ball out of the backfield. He can, run he's a big guy that can still run jet sweeps and those types of things. So I like their thinking in terms of getting a guy that can fit into a lot of different positions within this offense. And then you think of the running back position. When Jeff and I and Jim Miller and stuff, we were talking a couple weeks ago on Bears All Access. When I started watching the Combine and thinking about free agents, I kind of think differently than I have in the history of the Bears because, you're always thinking about a running back that's 4 yards in a cloud of dust, the old term they want to use. Now it's about how well can he catch the ball. Can he be a primary receiver when you call the play out of the backfield? And I do think there are certain skill sets that Matt Nagy wants out of the running back And those skill sets, catching the ball is equally as important as your running ability.
Yeah, I think that this is a guy that will fit what they want. I don't know what ends up happening with Jordan Howard, but it's been obvious for a while that it's a square peg round hole type situation, to quote Jerry Angelo.
Maybe in this system, I'm a huge fan of Jordan Howard. I mean, I like what he has done, his willingness to keep his mouth quiet during the whole building part of this offense. He wasn't up there, you know, talking to the press each week and dissatisfied about the amount of touches, although he probably was. However, I think Jordan Howard belongs in the NFL, and if it's not with the Bears, some other team is going to get a really quality character person, dedicated, and like I said last offseason, I've never seen anybody work on their catching the ball harder than Jordan Howard did. Every single free moment he had, he was working on some type of drill to develop that. So I still think that he could be an asset with the Bears if he was in the backfield, but if he's not, then I do think he can be an asset to another team in the league.
Tom, Clinton Dix visits Hallis Hall today by all reports, and Eric Berry is on the market after being released by the Jets. When you look at the possibilities for that safety position and your Ryan Pace, are you looking at those two specifically and only? Are you encouraged by what you saw from Deion Bush? How would you view that position?
Man, you know, with Eric Berry and Clinton Dix, there's two negatives about him. You got Eric Berry, who's had injury problems over the last few years, and, you know, that's one of the things that haunted the Bears at the end of the year when Bryce Callahan wasn't healthy. So, to me, I want healthy bodies there, and I want guys that have a good track record coming in here from their, you know, their health record throughout their career. You know, and Clinton Dix, in the time that he did play for Green Bay, and he was a really good football player, and he played on a football team that had an explosive offense and quarterback, usually had the lead, and then they could be more aggressive up front, and Clinton Dix was able to capitalize on it for a little while. But in the reality of preparation to play, you know, there was always, you know, just question marks. Is he in the right position? Can you take advantage of him in certain matchups at the line of scrimmage? Are there scenarios that he doesn't fit into the defense that well? So I just think those are the things that, when you talk about that forethinking and scouting, he's probably been scouted by the Bears as much as any safety in the league. However, you know, Green Bay did get rid of him, and there was a reason for that in the long run, and I just think that's what, you know, Chuck Pagano, the new defensive coordinator, has to explore his value to his system.
They need another kicker, right?
I mean,
I don't think that's figured out yet. I still think they need another lineman. Although I like that they got Ted Larson, but
I agree.
You know, where are you at with their needs, and how many more will they fill before draft time?
You're talking about kicker specifically?
Well, I just wonder if it's wiser to – I just think they might need a veteran kicker, Tom, just because, my God, you know, that they were that close.
You know, Molly and David, me, because I'm a weirdo, I've been paying a lot of attention to the AAF, the Alliance of American Football.
Yeah.
And there's a kicker. His last name might be Fry. It's a three-letter name. I'm not really sure. But, you know, they were playing in a game a couple weeks ago in Utah, and it was a consistent snowstorm from before the game to the end of the game. And the kid's got great confidence. He's kicking 43-yarders and plus in the snow with, you know, it's probably a snapper that's got experience, but maybe not evaluated. You know, the whole snap hold process of a snowy field in Utah. And I think those are the kind of reps that you want to scout from kickers, not a guy that's being snapped the ball in shorts with no pressure behind him. You want to try to get these kickers that have faced as many pressure opportunities throughout their career that you can find, and then, you know, scout them that way. And I do think that league is one way to develop a position that can come in and play football year-round and be as healthy at the end of the NFL season as he was at the beginning of the AAF season.
That would be Elliott Fry. He kicked for South Carolina in college. Now he kicks for Orlando.
The Orlando Apollo.
Yeah, and that's a guy that has opened some eyes with the AAF, as much as other players.
Orlando's where,
Spurrier.
Where Steve Spurrier
is the coach. Yeah, yeah. They're scoring points, and he's getting reps, and he's on the field, and he's traveling Orlando to Salt Lake and still having a good game and stuff. So, getting back to the kicker, I do think there are more bodies out there to evaluate from to make sure that you get a guy that is strong, confident, and the sound of the ball coming off his foot is explosive.
Speaking of the kicking game, Tom, Cordero Patterson, obviously in the return game, he has two touchdowns at Soldier Field and kickoff returns. He's a guy that will help them improve the field position issue, which was one of the bigger problems last year. They were last in league where they started each drive. Even though the league has sort of minimized the importance of kickoffs and you have guys who are, touchbacks and all those things, don't you think that there's value in having a guy as explosive as him on your roster?
Oh, gosh, yes. I think Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator, should take advantage of his willingness to take it out of the end zone. Because one of the things, as you limit the amount of returns that you're bringing out in college and you're bringing out in the pros, all that talent is deteriorated. So the guys, if you can really devise and you can get quality kick return blockers in front of a guy like Patterson, you're going to be able to take advantage of some average pursuit. And so I think that the better and the more organized that you can get on kick return, the more explosive you can make that element of your football team. And it seems like every time Tariq's back there, everybody just holds their breath hoping he doesn't get hurt because he's not the biggest of guys with all these guys chasing him. And I think Patterson gives him a different body, a different athlete back there, and maybe more willingness to take that one out if you see a seam, if you see a crack, or if you know that their kickoff coverage team is vulnerable.
When we start talking about depth, generally speaking, where are you at with some of the moves they've made here? And I haven't heard Bryce Callahan's name mentioned anywhere. I don't know that he's going to have a big market.
That's surprising, too.
But, you might be able to even bring a guy like that back for depth purposes if – no one's going after him.
Bryce has to be really smart about the future of his career, because if there's no one out there clamoring for his services, then, this is the great spot for him. He's well-respected in the locker room. He is a good player. If he could stay healthy and be on the field week in and week out, he adds a lot to this defense, and I know Vic Fangio's bragged about him as much as being a starter as anybody on the defense. The Bears know that they have to get competitive in the defensive backfield. You lose Adrian Amos. Yep. You don't know what's going to happen with Bryce Callahan. And there's probably going to be a little bit different of scheming, positioning, and thinking of the defensive back with the Pagano system and how he's going to attack up front. So, there's a lot of things that have to fall into place. Bryce is not just stepping into a system that he's been around for years. There's going to be new subtleties, new coaching, new techniques with new position coaches, too, that these guys are going to have to live through and grow through. But, the guy that I'm glad they signed is Ted Larson, because you guys remember when he was in training camp, when Hakeem got here, and those two guys fought every practice, and then they made the tempo of practice more aggressive. They made the style of play on the line of scrimmage more beneficial to the linemen and their development. So I'm glad Big Ted's back in the mix. And, he's also a three-position player. So now if you want to keep James Daniels at left guard, he's there. Cody, stay at center. Right guard, get Kyle Long, keep him healthy. And you got Ted Larson, who can swing in between any three of those positions and be a good starter or a really beneficial backup.
Or just take a swing, period.
That's right, man. A guy plays to just a little bit after the whistle, but, I can't wait. That's going to make training camp
fun.
A blast.
Thanks, Tom.
Hello, old friend. Yeah. All right, buddy. Thank
good stuff.
You.
All right, man. See you guys.
That is the great Tom Thayer. Always
right,
a joy
though.
To talk to. It's so
You
so
need
true.
Guys like that in your locker room.
Yeah.
A little bit of sandpaper, if you will.
I love it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.